Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Happy Monday. I have half a Jim's Blue sub left over from last night. So my week is going to start on the right note in very short order here. I hope you're having a good feast to start the week. Welcome. Hi, Marty.
Well, last time we saw you was on Friday, but Friday was Wednesday. So it was Wednesday that was a Friday. So I hope you've had Friday and then Saturday and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday again. Like you've had a double weekend. So I hope you had a good couple of days. We missed you. And now I'm excited about this. I'm excited to start looking ahead to next season. Like we've done the whole, okay, free agency draft, development camp, everything. And now we're looking at the, you know, next season with the team. So I'm really excited with the way to start this week, late in July.
We'll get there. We'll do it alphabetically. We're going to start with Anaheim a little bit later on in the show. My question to you is, what did you get out of Jordan LaBarber on Thursday?
Oh, I got a ton. Like Jordan was fantastic. We discussed, what did we talk about? Because I knew, we talked about the awards a little bit, like the way too early, like odds for awards, right? Like the Rocket, Richard in the UPL, for the Vezina maybe, Dahlin for the Norris. And then we did have Megan Chaika on as well. And she had, some of the numbers she came up with, it was great. I'm telling you.
Like Sabre-related numbers?
Sabre-related, like the amount of, so for example, simple like numbers. The year that Tage Thompson scored 47 goals, he had 17 one-timer goals.
Mm-hmm. I just set fire.
Sorry, give me a second. It's going to re...
No, no, you're good. Keep talking. Sorry. Oh, boo.
To my microphone.
Don't mind me. I'll just be eating my gems over here.
Oh. Last year, he only had 17 2 years ago to 6 one-timer goals last year.
Right, with a power play, like, right?
The power play, yeah, but Tage couldn't shoot the puck the same way.
Right?
And funny enough, when we're going to talk about the Anaheim Ducks, I feel like the Anaheim Ducks game last year in Buffalo, they lost 4-3, was the game that...
Buffalo lost 4-3.
Yeah, they lost both games.
They lost both games to the Ducks, our team of the day.
It was the game that I feel like Tage got going again. He scored on a one-timer that game. A little bit of a lucky goal. It went off the post and off Gibson and in. But still, he took one-timer shots. He scored 14 goals in 27 games to end the season. Like, that was the game I feel like got Tage going. But those were interesting numbers that Megan Chaika talks about. So we talked about odds and stuff like that with Jordan and Utah, traveling to Utah maybe, and what he's expecting, like his excitement to see the Salt Lake City. He's never been there. So we did have some fun points of conversation. Some, you know, we had Hart Levine that was Cab Geek.
Yeah, which is, I was here for that. Yeah,
Wednesday. And then we had Shane on Wednesday. We had a really busy week last week, which was great.
Okay. We no need to rehash my previous stops on the show. As far as Sabre stuff, before we dive into our team of the day, you know, we're sitting on July 22nd, yes. Still a couple of arbitration results and or discussions, pre-hearings, you know, for Beck Malenstein, Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. The Players Association has decided not to release the hearing dates this year. So we know that they run between July 20th and August 4th.
Yes.
So I can guarantee you that in the next 2 weeks, we'll have resolved all these contractual issues with the eight remaining players that are still potentially slated to go through the arbitration process. Has anything changed on your outlook of Malenstein's potential deal, Luukkonen's potential deal, and the space that may be left over to do anything once those deals are in place?
Well, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I am in the belief that if those two don't go to arbitration, it's not to sign, number one, Malenstein just got acquired. It's not to sign a four-year deal or a five-year deal, right? I think Malenstein goes to ARB, gets his one-year deal, or they agree on a one-year deal. They say, okay, we don't even have to go to, but, you know, they added some depth. They added Lafferty, Obi Kubel, more of the short term. McLeod only have 1 year left before he's an RFA. So I think that the way Kevin Adams is positioning himself with a guy like Beck Malenstein is basically saying, okay, let's do the 1 year deal, either ARB or settling out before arbitration, but let's not put ourselves in a position to have, you know, all these contracts lingering for 2, 3, 4 seasons. Let's get a year and let's go. And I believe that may be the same approach for Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. Just because Luukkonen had a fantastic second half of the season last year, and he's 2 years away really from unrestricted free agency. So 1 year would allow the Sabres to be able to get a better read on Luukkonen and then get a longer term after that if everything falls into place. So if they don't go to arbitration, it's not because they're settling for a long-term deal. It's just, oh, we got a number we both like, but I feel like that plan for the Sabres to get short-term one-year deal with those two is what's the priority.
Right, but as another week begins, I'm guessing you would believe that Sabre fans' appetite for one more player hasn't changed, right?
It hasn't changed, but, you know, as we put it on social media today, just because it's the Anaheim Ducks and we know right. that our team of the day and Trevor Zegras is always going to be a point of intrigue around the league. Mm-hmm. Like, do you like Trevor Zegras? Would you want him on your team? Like, all of that. Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting, the response of people right now that are basically saying, yeah, I mean, he would definitely booster up our you know, top six. And the opposite's in Frank's Jays here says, hell no, 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 no. That's mm-hmm. his thing. So, you know, at this point, Matt and Cleveland said, at this point, I think it's best to stand pat. Not just looking at Trevor Zegras, but overall. They've done a lot of work. It comes down to Thompson, Cousins, Quinn Paterka, Tuck, Dallin, Byron Power. Like, this is the group that will get you back into a playoffs and compete for a cup. One player adding to the top six, the general sense is, okay, they've done their work. Let's just see if they can put it all together with Lindy as the head coach.
As far as news over the weekend, not a ton, obviously.
Can we bring back the NHL headline and see if it fits into our schedule?
Do you have one for us?
Oh, boy.
How about No Ordinary Joe?
No Ordinary Joe?
Yeah. That was part of the news of the weekend, right? Was Joe Valeno getting his 2-year deal with the Red Wings.
Yes.
See, this headline stuff is easy. Like, you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, but because of what happened, and not that I'm a big political person, but like when you say Joe, I'm thinking of the Biden situation.
Well, you should know I'm not going there. Went. So yeah.
Yeah, I know.
No need to bring that up. Or how about Sprong Song as opposed to Swan Song, right? Like this is easy. Once again, we waited and waited and waited for Daniel Sprong to get another opportunity, and he's found it in Vancouver. And like this is.
And how is he not, like, I get it. Like, Daniel Sprong, it's late. I mean, I was there. On this day in 2009, I signed my contract with the New York Islanders. On it's 3 weeks.
Jeff, why did we not lead the show with this? For goodness sakes, man.
3 weeks, like, where's into that free photo? Agency.
You know the evolving headshots over the court? Like, what were you looking like on the day that you signed that?
Oh, I remember where I was, too. I was at a horse show in Northampton, Massachusetts, right? And, but whatever I'm just saying is that 3 weeks into free agency, it's a long time for an unrestricted free agent. And I remember just signing.
It was with the Islanders today?
It was with the Islanders, yeah.
This has a beautiful Anaheim tie-in.
Because of?
Who was your goaltending coach?
Oh, it was Sudsy Mirage. You're right. So
right. And Sudsy just not only incredibly against incredibly low odds.
Yes.
Beat cancer, is cancer-free, and now is the overarching goaltender guru for the Ducks organization, our team of the day. He's been there in a different role, more specifically like goaltending coach, but most importantly, he's been battling for his life.
Yes.
And now they've brought in Peter Budaj, and Budaj is going to be the day-to-day goaltending coach. But yeah, this is awesome.
So
what a great time.
The guy in charge. So a couple of things quickly. 3 weeks in free agency is a long time. Daniel Sprong waiting 3 weeks to sign his contract with the Vancouver Canucks. He gets $975, like a 1 year deal at $975.
Right.
Like you look at his stats last year. He had 43 points, 18 goals. He gets less than $1 million.
I know.
That's incredible.
But it was basically insinuated by the Red Wings that they got too much scoring from their fourth line and not enough fourth line from their fourth line. And it was just like, I give up. So anyway.
I give up. And then don't play Daniel Sprong on the fourth line because he's producing. Play him higher in the lineup if you think that's the way. But okay, so there's the Daniel Sprong angle happened over the weekend. I want to just quickly... Anaheim is our team of the day, and you just opened a door talking about Sudsy Mirage. Sudsy Mirage was my goalie coach with the New York Islanders. He was up in Toronto. I used to drive up in the summer, like before I joined the Islanders, to go see him and start training for the year and all of that. My goalie partner, I had two goalie partners with the New York Islanders. Rick DiPietro and Dwayne Roloson. Mm-hmm. It is Dwayne Roloson who brought Sudsy Mirage to Anaheim because Dwayne Roloson was the goalie coach in Anaheim and brought Sudsy as, you know, the assistant goalie coach, AHL guy, development guy. And then Dwayne decided, like, this is a lot of time away from my family. I want to just get back to my wife and kids and everything. So Sudsy was elevated to goalie coach and now has got a bigger role. So it's funny how there's a, you know, 6-7 degrees of separation, but sometimes less, and where you've been and how these relationships get going. And it may lead to one of my least favorite goalie in the National Hockey League and John Gibson. And at that point, a conversation, but no, it's great to see Sudsy healthy now and back in the game in a bigger role with the Anaheim Ducks.
Great to have you with us for a brand new week here on Sabres Live. We will be interrupted this week. Just consider this fair warning. We are not broadcasting on Wednesday, so we will we'll pause very early on in the alphabet in our team of the day team of the day showcases. But yes, the Bills will be taking priority on that day, and we will return to action on Thursday. But starting alphabetically through our teams of the day, It's an incredibly challenging time for the Ducks.
Yes.
They had a run of 12 out of 15 years where they were in the playoffs. That included their first ever Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. They have now gone a franchise worst 6 straight seasons without. Over the past 5 years, only San Jose has been worse in the overall standings. If you want to look at them statistically, Greg Cronin was their head coach last year. This will be year 2 for him. Mm-hmm. It's year 4 for Pat Verbeek as GM. but they were 30th in goals for, 30th in goals against, 31st on the penalty kill, 25th on the power play. At 5-on-5, they were bottom five, as you would expect. They were also bottom five in categories like shots for per game and shots allowed per game. Yeah. They had about 300 man games lost to injury, which is never easy to overcome. And a huge part of that was Trevor Zegras. So that's kind of the broad brush picture of where Anaheim has been and currently is, with $21.7 million in cap space remaining, with, you know, a couple of months to go before the regular season begins. Most of their business is taken care of, though, Marty. Yes. So
they actually, according to Puckpedia, they have, I said Cap Geek earlier. Cap Geek hasn't existed in over 10 years, but Puckpedia, yes. They have 25 like rostered players right now. They're going to actually lose some salary when the season starts. They're $2 million above the floor. So you lose a couple of $800,000 players or whatever, you may be a mere $500,000 above the NHL cap floor when you put your roster in at the start of the season. That's the position Anaheim puts themselves in. Pat Verbeek, that's the position that he's going forward with. A lot of young players, a lot of lower-end type of contracts, and just barely above the floor. Oh. I think we may have gotten a freeze here on Duffer. Jeff, can you confirm that, Duffer, or is it me that's on? No, it's Duffer that's on a freeze. So anyway, so we'll try to reconnect with Duffer here. He's gotten hit with the Spalding Lake Wi-Fi, which is something that I've been hit before many, many times. But yeah, when you look at, obviously, you know, the off-season transaction for the Buffalo Sabres, we know that there's a lot of players that went out, a lot of players that went in, mostly up front, their bottom six. When you look at the Anaheim Ducks, they didn't do a whole lot this season to make their team better or worse. Like, they added Fabry up front. They've added Dumoulin on the blue line. But, you know, they've only lost Max Jones. Like, there's not a lot of movement. The Anaheim Ducks did not go out and spend on July 1. They did not make a ton of trades at the draft or anything like that. They're basically just saying here, saying we are really comfortable with guys like Cutter Gauthier, Leo Carlson, Mason McTavish, Trevor Zegras, Frank Vetrano, Troy Terry. That's where they want to go. Last year, we all know that they made the move and they sent Drysdale to Philadelphia for Cutter Gauthier. And it was a move that kind of surprised a lot of people because Jimmy Drysdale was a really, really good young defenseman, had dealt with a lot of injuries, but they made that big move to try to bring another one of those young forwards into their stable. But when you look at the whole piece, like, their forward group is really young, very highly skilled. But as Duffer was just mentioning earlier, they didn't score a whole lot last year, despite the fact that they have a lot of, you know, skills and a lot of players that can produce offensively. They were 30th with 2.48 goals per game last year. That's really, really tough. And then, you know, defensively, 3.5 goals against. John Gibson, Lucas Dostal, trying to get the job done, but it has been obviously a little bit tough as well. But before we get Duffer back, let's just make sure we remind everybody that quarter season plans are available right now. Pick your seats and choose from three great plans: the weekend, weekday, an all-star plan, which feature marquee matchups and opponents. Prices are as low as $26 per seat per game. Go on sabres.com/partial and you can get all the information on those quarter season plans for the upcoming year. And the Anaheim Ducks are coming to Buffalo on January the 25th, Duffer. So that's if you want the Ducks to be one of your quarter season plans, and see that game against the Anaheim Ducks. By the way, the Sabres did not fare well against the Ducks last year, right? They went 0-2, losing both games 4-2 and 4-3. So it could be one of the games that you may want to see with their new jerseys, which I really, really like.
Do you like them because they have, you know, the Philadelphia orange in it, which
no, I like them because
they you're have still that... way too partial to Philly for my liking. So,
well, no, that's not true. It's a completely
well, you can't tell me
orange.
How to feel. So, yes, it is true.
Well, you feel that way. It's yes. not true on my side. But anyway, it's a different orange than the one Philadelphia Flyers orange. And I like it for two things. Number one, the logo. I think the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim logo is the way to go. That flying D with the quack, like, feet or whatever.
They won him a cup, so don't diss it too hard.
Yeah, but I didn't like it. I felt like it was just okay. And I love the orange base, Orange County, the Anaheim Ducks and everything. So I love their new logo.
Yeah, but
I think
the only question that matters is do you love the orange pants because they're going tip to toe.
I have to see it where when I see one person, I think it was Radko Gudas that did some promotional pictures or whatnot, and the orange pants looked a little bit too orangey for me. But I want to see it as a group. When there's 20 players on the ice, the goalies, how does it look? I'm going to just hold back a little bit as my final decisions on the orange pants.
All right. Well, what did I miss with the your rambling?
Oh, I just basically said they do have a young lineup, right? Like they are just a couple million over the cap. They didn't really do any business on July 1 or trades on, you know, at the draft or anything like that. They are deciding to go with Cutter Gauthier and Leo Carlson and, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I gave you the wide brush of where they're at. You mentioned Zegras and what the reaction has been on social so far is whether, you know, Buffalo should go after. I mean, what do you like about the Ducks right now that could get them out of where they've been and to a place where they need to be after six really, really poor years?
Well, I said, and you mentioned it, 30th in goals per game last year at 2.48. That's a great goals against average. If you goal like a goalie at 2.48, but they have so much talent, raw talent. I feel that their offense, look, if you want to give up a ton of goals, give up a ton of goals, but you should be able to produce with the talent that you have on that team. Last year, you know, it was Vetrano with 60 points that led the way. 60 points in 82 games, that's not a lot as your leading point getter. So I want to see the Anaheim Ducks being better offensively. I think they could have that approach to their game, but they really didn't show it last year. I know Zegras missed a lot of the year, but still, like, they had enough young talent to be able to produce and play that type of game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of starts with Zegras and goes, he only played 31 games. Obviously, Henrik was a part of it, but he's, you know.
He had a good season.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it worked out well for him in Edmonton. It's Henrik's journey just the last 4 years in Anaheim, which is very puzzling on waivers and written off and all that. But it ends up kind of reflecting what they've been and most certainly what they haven't been. And that is good enough offensively or defensively. So Leo Carlson came in, you know, right from being top pick. And so when I think of things to love about the Ducks, I get excited to see hopefully a full year injury-free from Leo Carlson.
Yes.
After a monstrous college season and a trade from Philadelphia, like I think I'm excited and for Cutter Gauthier, right?
He only played one game like at the end of the year and one assist. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of talent there. Mm-hmm. And if you give him top 6 minutes and power play times, he could be a 60 point guy this year easily, in my opinion.
That's a high expectation. Wow.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you'd be given that time, right? He'd be given that opportunity to get 20 goals and maybe 20 goals, 35 assists, 55 points. Let's go. Like that's where I think it could be.
Well, he's been there longer. But what do you believe the annual upside projection will be for Mason McTavish? Because I like this player too.
I really have always liked Mason McTavish. And I think I remember watching him in the under 18 and the World Juniors and everything. And he was easy to spot. He had the big beard, right? The big, big hair, big beard. And you'd always spot him. I think, again, I look at McTavish as if he played 82 games this season, I think 60 points is where that should be at. Last year, he had 42 points in 64 games. He missed 18, you know, probably could have gotten another 14 points, get in the mid-50s. I think this year it has to be at 60-point minimum.
So they've added Robbie Fabbri, who has had, I would say, unquestionably the worst luck injury-wise in the NHL for the majority of his career. Potential, yes. You're easily replacing Henrique's goals with Robbie Fabbri. You've outlined what McTavish can give you. I don't know if Frank Vetrano can reach top 20 status in goals like he did last year with his 37-goal season, but we do know this. The UFA carrot is hanging right in front of him, so it could work out really well for Anaheim that he has another monster goal-scoring year, and that either works out to their benefit in that he stays with them, or he becomes a tradable asset at the deadline. Ryan Strome is about 10 points off of where the Ducks probably thought he would be, you know, annually when they signed him to his long-term deal. Alex Killorn can still capably get to 20. Troy Terry still has that window between 20 goals and maybe 40, right? Yeah. With the right people around him, especially if Carlson and Gauthier are going. So I'm less concerned about their forwards. Well,
Troy Terry had 37 2 years ago.
The same year with Tage.
We talk about him with Tage a lot and saying Troy Terry, Tage Thompson, Troy Terry, 37 goals. He took a little bit of a step back the last two, 23 and 20. But even if he got to 30, right? Like, you know, you got Vetrano who could get there. Troy Terry who could get there. Add Gauthier, Zegras a full season, Leo Carlson. There should be plenty of offense. They should not be 30th in the NHL in goals per game next year. They should be at least in the top 20. Like, I'm not saying you got to jump in the top 10, but you should be at least in the top 20.
So what will Zegras bring to this group?
My original first word that came to my mind is frustration, because I think there's been a lot of frustration around Zegras. Look, this is a team last year that started the season 9-6, right? 15 games in, they were 9-6. You were like, oh, are the Anaheim Ducks going to surprise everybody? Zegras is not around. He's got a ton of skills. Yes, there's a lot that he can bring, but I felt like the team was going somewhere and then it fell apart. I get it. They, you know, maybe they got hot to start the season and then it just kind of crumbled a little bit. If Zegras plays the game, and plays the game with what we know is his skills, but not just the skills, but a little more compete, a little bit more structure. He's not just a young guy that he's about skills and freewheeling. No, there's got to be more to that. And last year, he had, 14, 15 points in 31 games. Like, that's not good enough for him. But he's got to learn to play the game in a different way and still produce. And that's what Zegras brings. A lot of frustration, but he still has amazing talent.
But what do you think he will deliver?
Maybe, because our question is like, would you want the Sabres to, you know, and it's a question just because it's Anaheim. I think most people would say no, the Sabres don't want or don't need a Trevor Zegras, because eventually I think Zegras will be a guy that could score 25 to 30, but will get about 60 to 65 points. He should be a 90-point player. He should be a point-a-game player. But I don't think he'll ever be that. I think he's going to stay in the 60s, and that's what you're going to get from Trevor Zegras every year.
Well, the Ducks have plenty still to improve upon, as we laid out statistically. The defense corps and the goaltending will be our talking points when we come back. Obviously, Marty gave you a little promo on what's available from, you know, quarter seasons. We've been talking a lot about half-season memberships recently, and this coming July 27th, we're only 5 days out from this, a little open house. You can check out what is available still for full and half and quarter-season seat locations. You can learn more about the member benefits and exclusive perks, and while you're there, check out unique merchandise, game-used equipment for purchase while supplies last. It's all available, sabres.com/open house. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
On a day when the local Wi-Fi is better in Emigrant, Montana than big city Buffalo, we're back here on Sabres Live. It's I never asked you about your weekend. How was your weekend, Marty? I feel like you've once again pushed yourself to the limits physically. Might be feeling the effects of it a little bit.
I'm totally feeling the effects of it. I've been I feel like I should have documented my building of a chicken run. For my six chickens.
Think of the YouTube hits.
I should have been like, today we're going to build the roof, and today we're going to put the chicken fencing inside. And yesterday was one of those days where after I painted the whole thing, I was, you know, stapling the fencing to the inside of the chicken run. And maybe I went a little overboard with the amount of staples that I put into the thing to hold it. I just don't want any raccoons, anything to get in and rip the thing off. I have, like, right now, I feel like all night last night and this morning, I have restless hands and arms syndrome. It's like, because I did so much of stapling, tack, tack, and then you switch in, tack, 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 along the way and whatnot, that, like, the tendons and the wrists and the arm is, like, feeling shaky right now. And I still have more to do. I still have to go back out there and finish the roof and stuff today. So that was my weekend, but it was beautiful and enjoyed it. How was yours?
Will the coop be done before arbitration hearings are done?
Well, it depends. I think it will be done today for the chickens to be able to run out there and enjoy themselves. Still got to do, put the roof shingles on and, you know, kind of the finishing touches to the whole thing. But there's hardware. There's a door that works. It locks and everything. So I was able to really get into it. Yeah, I gotta finish it up later today.
Keyless entry, like four-digit code?
No. It's old school entry, just a latch and a one of those hooks that kind of hold the door shut. So I find it that if you're a smart raccoon, you could probably get into the coop from the back because it's just one of those hooks, but they don't know how to open those up. Well, I'm saying that now. I better lock it because they'll find a way in.
I have to tell you something.
What happened?
Well, you know where I was.
No, I don't know where you were.
You don't remember the headliner I was going to see on Friday night?
Oh, literally. Alanis Morissette. Yes.
Yes. Thank
yes,
you.
Alanis Morissette. Yes, absolutely. How was that? I'm jealous on Monday that you had to see that Friday. I'm really jealous.
I was nowhere close by this point. Like, it was a big festival and there were a lot of people and I was quite a ways away. Unreal. Almost to the point of it made me kind of rethink everything as far as why have I not kept her up here always when thinking about just greatness, longevity,
yeah.
Like, it was one of those incredible nights where, and again, at festivals, it's a shorter set, so a shorter encore wait period, right? But even when you're in that 2-minute window of waiting, and by the way, like, I think my motto in life is cheer for the encore.
Yes.
Like, be the one that makes noise for the encore. The artist deserves it. It's better for the crowd. Don't just stand there and expect things in life. Cheer for it. They deserve it, right?
I was but always told window, by my parents, if we didn't make noise, they won't come out. Like, that, they only come out if you cheer right. for them to come out. If you're like, eh,
right.
it was just okay. I don't need the encore. Now so, it's pre-programmed, but you right. need to cheer them on. Come back. So,
I love that, and I love when I see it and I feel it, and that was Friday. But in that moment, you're going, what could she possibly have left? Right. Oh. And then she hits you with a couple and it was just like, and then the next day when we were running into, you know, random people like you do at festivals, like all I wanted to know was like, hey, what's your highlight been so far? Right. Mm-hmm. And for so many, it was Alanis Morissette. And I was like,
so the connection yep, with Alanis Morissette and
Hawk. I mean, it was an unbelievable festival in St. Paul. It was their first yeah. ever attempt at this massive
plus
crowd.
You love St. Paul so much that it just was great for you. But yes.
It was. But even like, you know, one of the most pure hardcore Minnesotans, Craig Finn, he's the lead singer of the Hold Steady. And I was trying to tell Kevin, my buddy, you know, what to expect from the Hold Steady, right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, this is, I mean, he's the biggest Twins guy of all time. They're Minneapolis based and you're going to get a lot of baseball reference. Craig Finn comes bounding onto the stage, got this beautiful suit, which he tells a funny story about, but he's got a Twins ball cap and he comes running out and says, we're here to celebrate Joe Mauer's induction into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, of course you are. And like within the first song, he's flinging his Twins cap into the crowd. And it was just all this passion of Minneapolis, Minnesota, you know, it oozing out of him, which is what he is. So that's another one of the highlights, but there were many. It was amazing. So
Joe Mauer was a Minnesota guy too, right? And played for the Twins. So he's a local yeah. guy, right?
One of the
so
great catchers of all time.
One of the great, yeah. And he was very popular with the Twins. Yeah. Hey, my connection, like a hockey reference with Alanis Morissette is, and a lot of people that are probably, you know, in the same age generation that I am and you are is look, we're talking about summer of 95 when that Jagged Little Pill album comes out. Mm-hmm. I have my CD player, right? That you connect that fake tape into your radio so that right. you can play the CDs into the car and on loop. Like I would continually play. And then there's the bonus track, the hidden track on the album and everything. And you just played it over and over again. And then 95, 96 hits and it's in every arena. Like everywhere you play, there's yep. always Alanis Morissette that's being played. In Canada, especially because she's a good old Canadian, but everywhere it had that connection with hockey, that mm-hmm. edgier rock kind of Alanis Morissette and hockey. It was, mm-hmm. I must have worn down that CD and that tape that you put into the car mm-hmm. so much out of Live was a great album. You know, Alanis Morissette was a great album. Bush was great album back in those days. Like those were the ones that were mm-hmm. constantly being rerun.
Yes, and as is often the case, the longevity for any artist comes from how powerful the words were then and remain now. And that was the takeaway from Alanis Morissette, was she knew, and now we still know, and that'll always be the case. She's brilliant. Lots more music talk. Not sure when or if Alanis Morissette is playing Honda Center, but that remains the home of the Ducks, and that's our team of the day. We really went through the forward ranks and how meaningful, presumably, Trevor Zegras has to be to rescue this group from the depths of where they have been the last 6 years. But there's also something to keep in mind, and whether you want to be tongue-in-cheek or sarcastic or critical or passive, you know, when it comes to their goaltending and John Gibson, the reality is, with Gibson, most losses in the NHL in the last 5 years, John Gibson, 129. Now, the saving grace for Gibson is that next on the list, but quite a ways away, are two standouts, Hellebuck and Saros.
Yeah, because they play a lot.
They play a lot. Gibson doesn't play as much, but still has the most losses. His record over this time is 74, 129, and 33. And we can sit here and debate all we want how good he is or he isn't. But I question the toll that this takes on a goaltender and maybe prevents him from being the goaltender that many still believe he can be. Do you believe that at all?
Yeah, there's a physical and a mental toll, right? That takes on a goaltender. And I think we've seen both tolls really affecting John Gibson. At times, John Gibson can give you great performances. Let's recall the game last year. It was in February the 19th, where the Sabres are pushing. They're pushing. They're down 4-3. He robbed Tage Thompson with the glove on the goal line, right? He pulled it out. Tage had already scored, would have tied it 4-4. Maybe the Sabres win one of those two games against Anaheim. Doesn't happen. Gibson was really good in that second game. The Sabres outshot the Anaheim Ducks 37-14, I believe, was really good. You have seen those type of performances from Gibson. Like Toby Keith says, I may not be as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. Like, Gibson can give you that one game, but it's the consistency that's not there. And I feel like that's mental and physical, where it has taken such a toll on him over the last few years that he just can't keep putting games after games after games together. But if you're getting 500 hockey from John Gibson this year, and Lucas Dostal, who had a 902 save percentage last year, which, you know, is pretty good on a bad team, maybe he gives you close to 500. Could the Anaheim Ducks be a 500 hockey team if they're getting like 902 to 905 save percentage from those two goalies? Not 888, right? Like, that's what Gibson was last year, 888. That's not good enough. If you're 900, you may be given a chance your team to be 500 hockey team, because they'll score more. Their defense is a little sketchy, though. Like, they're a little sketchy on the back end.
Okay, so they brought in Dumoulin for depth.
Yes.
They actually got...
For depth, but he'll probably play top line, top pairing with Cam
Fowler.
But
they got really, really... This is lost in all of this, is they had a really good year from Radko Gudas. And he had a very positive impact on Urho Vaakanainen on the blue line. The problem is... And the same rules, if you will, for lack of a better word, apply from what we just talked about with Gibson to the longest-serving Duck in Cam Fowler. Like, Cam is still playing 24 minutes a night, and he just had a career-worst minus 36. Like, this needs to change, right? Like, you can't just keep doing this. And, yes, they have Olin Zellwiger, and, yes, they have Pavel Minchikov, and, you know, we obviously talked up front about Leo Carlson being a top pick and coming right into the lineup. Like, they need more. And they still have like a bunch of first and mostly second round defense prospects that might be close. But if we're being fair to John Gibson, we probably need to focus as much on defensive structure and the actual defensemen they have, right?
No, 100%. And their defensive structure last year, you mentioned, gave a ton of shots, gave a ton of scoring chances, gave a ton on the rush. Like, it was... Weren't good on the
penalty kill. Like,
awful in the penalty kill. And Cronin, the head coach, in his first year, there's a lot of, you know, kind of that's things that are holding up with duct tape that should be like cemented in, right? And he's trying to patch things up and down the lineup. And hopefully in year two, another training camp, another year, you can continue to solidify your, you know, your structure and whatever you want to play the game. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see last year anything defensively that showed me, oh, this team is going to take a step forward in their defensive game. And so, again, I say, if they go and score three or more goals per game, 3.1, 3.2, great. They have that talent. Can they bring the 3.57? I think that's what they were. Yeah, 38 in the NHL. 3.57 down to three, a half a goal a game. I don't know if that's a possibility for the Anaheim Ducks this year.
Did you see who else is on the coaching staff now this year?
I did look at it.
Tim Army.
Yes.
And
yes.
So Tim, you know, he's now in his 60s. I mean, he's been around the game so long. Previously with Anaheim, back in their earliest days, remember, he was with Ron Wilson a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so whether it was in Washington and Anaheim, and then Tim's been an assistant and, of course, head coach in the AHL and you know, assistant NHL. So interesting to see that that familiar name is back. And my last question for you with the Ducks for this year. Will Beckett Seneca's draft night reaction be how we word this upcoming Ducks season?
Got to be careful with your reaction because we look, maybe it's a bad memory here in Buffalo that Trevor Zegras, Sonny Milano, you know, Holly Hoop, Michigan from behind the net. Remember this reaction from Sonny Milano, like, oh my gosh, that just happened. And he was gone later, like Brett Seneca, like at the reaction of the draft when they selected him third overall. And yes. It was like, oh my gosh, like that is a surprise, right? Demidov is there and there's others available. And they went with Brent Seneca, but Beckett Seneca. Yeah. Here's the thing. If I'm the Anaheim Ducks game prez, every time they score a goal, I'm putting a montage of like Anaheim Ducks and then the reaction, like, and the bleeping of the
duck,
words
with a duck bill over it.
And he says, holy, you know what? Like when he gets selected. So that was a cool moment at the draft. Like that was a really cool moment at the draft.
A great moment, great reaction, great honesty from the kid. And speaking of, when you're playing, when you get to that level of being drafted, like you think back to everything that preceded it. Yeah. In the rink, on the streets, Hockey Fest is coming up as part of Sabres Fan Fest, youth and adult age groups, participants receiving a pair of Sabres preseason tickets, Hockey Fest t-shirt, all skill levels are welcome. You just got to go to sabres.com.
Skill lovers too.
Skill lovers, yes. sabres.com/hockeyfest. We'll stick with that website and come back with more after this.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
While Marty was signing with the Islanders on this date many years ago, Dmitry Kalinin was celebrating a birthday. Tree was born in 1980, the former Sabres blue liner, and happy birthday to an incredible human being. We have enjoyed having him on the set. Yep. Jerry Desjardins, 1975, most prominently for the Sabres, netminder, and he's 80 today, so big shout out to Jerry. Also, active NHLers, Kevin Fiala is 28 today with the Kings.
Okay, well, happy birthday, Dimas. Dmitry Kalinin, he was so much fun to play with. Great character, very quiet, but loved him. Jerry Desjardins, fantastic. So happy 80th birthday. And one thing that I think I need to do at the end of every day that we have a team of the day is, in the tradition of maybe Howard's picks the Bills, is kind of say, okay, what's my outlook for the Sabres against that said team, Duffer, for the upcoming season? So 0-2 last year against the Anaheim Ducks. Got to be 2-0 this year. You got to flip it. You got to return the favor. So I'm putting 4 points in the bank, and at the end of the 31 teams, we're going to see what the point total is going to be.
Okay, that's fine, but it's also like if you start picking that the Sabres are going to go 0-4 against any of these teams, this feature is not going to fly. So are the Ducks going to make the playoffs or not?
No, the Ducks will not make the playoffs. They won't be close either. They may be a 500 team at best.
All right. As mentioned, we are off on Wednesday because of the Bills. But We're back tomorrow with another Team of the Day on Sabres Live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.